Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see you here on our first official Snow Day event, so I hope that'll be a joy for us. I have served in the church as a number of different things. Right now I am committee free, so don't come at me here. And I've been a member for about 20 years in the process. Everyone is invited to stay following this service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, just around the doors right here behind me. If you are a newcomer here this morning, we extend to you a very special welcome and invite you to fill out one of the visitor's cards found in the back of your hymnal and put it in the offering plate or give it to an usher, and we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the program and activities going on here at the church. If you have children with you, you and they are invited to attend our religious education program during the service when the children will leave for classes later in the service. We do have a professionally staffed nursery for children and infants. Adults are encouraged to attend the Adult Religious Education Program at 11:50 a.m. If you would like to learn more about this church and about Unitarian Universalism, there is an information rack in our fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you are certainly welcome to take home with you. Of course, we encourage you to speak with other members to learn more about and to encourage to seek out visitors and share with them this beloved community. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. And now I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you do not know yet. Good morning, glad to hear you. And you are indeed. And it's really a fun story. Yeah.
It's a good story. They did that at my ordination. That was the story of my ordination.
At this time, I will read some announcements. Karen Wilson from Partners for Just Trade says thank you. To all of you who supported the Fair Trade sale here at the church in October, $688 worth of items were sold. That's impressive. Helping to give the artisans in Peru, Haiti, Cambodia, and Egypt a living wage, as well as money to purchase materials and equipment needed for the ongoing production of their products. Second announcement, children other than junior high will begin in the sanctuary and proceed to their classrooms for the rest of the hour. Spirit Play K, pre-K, will be learning about the bread service. Elementary, first through fifth grade, will be having a co-exit Sunday featuring, exist. Okay, I thought exit sounds strange. Featuring Mary and Jerry Johnson. And junior high youth, 6th through 8th grade, should be already in their classroom for the Our Whole Lives Human Sexuality program. Junior high youth, that's 8th grade and up, has coming of age. The nursery, infants to 3 years, have our professionally staffed nursery, will be available from 10:15 through 2:30. Unfortunately, we are currently unable to offer Sunday morning childcare outside of those times. Parents of children second grade and under, please pick up your child in the classroom at the end of the service. An announcement from Sabrina. Thanksgiving potluck and church will be on the 11th, 23 in the Kate Worker Room. We plan on serving dinner at 3 p.m. There will be a sign-up list, and also this will be on Facebook.
It's on Thanksgiving Day.
From Reverend Sunshine, today at 11:50, there will be an INSPIRE program on the Unitarian Universalist principles. All are encouraged to attend. Another announcement from Reverend Sunshine. Interested in helping create worship? Please apply to be a worship associate. The deadline for applications is December the 15th. And one more from Reverend Sunshine. Remember to bring bread for our annual bread communion next Sunday.
And I have one additional announcement that I need to give in person. We are trying to update our directory to make sure we have current information, and also make sure we're not sending things to people who don't want them, et cetera. You will be getting, outside in the box on the table, are envelopes with names of folks who are members and friends of this congregation. Please look in the box, unless you're Mary and Jerry Johnson, and I stole yours so I could use it as an example, out of that box so that we don't have to spend postage. If you do not pick it up today, it will be mailed to your house on Monday, so don't worry if you forget. And then please return these as quickly as possible. Thank you.
We begin our service this morning with a prelude. Calls to Worship, a reading by Annie Dillard. We are here to abet creation and to witness to it, to notice each other's beautiful face and complex nature, so that creation need not play to an empty house. And today, Bob will be lighting our chalice. Please join me in reciting these words. I will recite this. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Our first hymn for the day will be in the gray hymnal, 347, Gather the Spirit, or it will be up here. Please stand as your spirit.
Thank you.
be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today, I'm going to share the intergenerational story with you. It's called The Emperor's Seed. There was once an emperor from China who had no children and needed to choose a successor. Thousands of children from across the kingdom came to the palace and were surprised when the emperor exclaimed that he was going to choose one of them. He gave them all a seed. They were to go home to their villages, plant the seed in a pot, and tend it for 1 year. When they returned, at the end of a year, the emperor would judge their efforts and choose his successor. There was a boy named Ling who received the seed and returned to his village. His mother helped him choose a pot and put some soil in it, put the seed in it, and watered the pot every day. Once a week, the children of the village would get together to compare their plants. And after a few weeks, there were signs of life in everyone's pot, except for Ling's. The weeks passed, and Ling continued to water his pot every day. And after a few months, the other pots really came to life. Some had trees starting to grow. Some had flowers. Some had big leafy shrubs. But poor Ling still had nothing growing in his pot. And the other children started to make fun of him. He continued to water his pot every day. And a year passed, and it was time to return to the palace and show what they had grown and decide on the new heir. Ling was anxious, as his pot still showed no signs of life. What if they punish me? They won't know that I watered it every day. They'll just think I'm lazy. His mother looked him in the eye and explained that whatever the consequences were, he had to return and show the emperor his barren pot. Ling and the other children entered the palace gates, and by now some of the plants were magnificent, and the children were wondering which one the emperor would choose. Ling was embarrassed as other children looked at his lifeless pot and laughed. And the emperor came out. Made his way through the crowd, looking at all of the impressive trees and shrubs and flowers that were on display. The boys all puffed their chests out and tried to look as regal as possible, hoping that they would be chosen to be the heir of the empire. And then the emperor came to Ling. He looked at the pot. He looked at Ling. "What happened here?" he said. I watered it every day, but nothing ever grew," Ling muttered nervously. And then he grumbled something to himself. The emperor grumbled something to himself and sort of moved on. After hours, the emperor was finally finished with his assessment. He stood in front of all of the children and congratulated them on their efforts. "Clearly," he said, "some of you desperately wanted to be the emperor and would do anything to make that happen. But there is one boy here that I would like to point out, as he has come to me with nothing. Ling, come here." "Oh no," thought Ling, and he slowly came to the front of the group holding his barren pot. The emperor held up the pot for everyone to see, and the other children laughed. And the emperor continued, "A year ago, I gave you all a seed, and I told you to go away and plant the seed and return with your plants. The seeds that I gave you had all been boiled until they were no longer viable and wouldn't grow. But I see before me thousands of plants and only one barren pot. Integrity and courage are more important values for leadership than proud displays. So Ling, here, will be my heir." Now we'll sing the children out as I go open the door.
Thank you.
As I do this reading, please reply to each line with the phrase, "Nature, this precious light." This is a reading called "Nature, This Precious Light" by Naomi King. How shall we begin to live out our free faith?
Nurture this precious light.
Actually, it's nurture, not nature. When we do, we are beacons of freedom, creating a safe place to rest, explore, and innovate. Nurture this precious light. How we keep this lamp of truth and justice affect how and whether we are transforming inequity through witness and action. Nurture this precious light. As we nurture this precious light together, we become a light of hope, turning isolation into community, anguish into peace, sorrow into joy. Nurture this precious light. As we do, our faith burns a steady flame of innovation, banishing illusion, creating a new and renewing way together. Nurture this precious light. With our living connections, with our glowing stories, with our flame of freedom moving hand to hand, we nurture this precious light. Together, we turn this world from bleak to bright. One flame, one fire, one light at a time. At this time, I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any gratitude or celebrations you bring with you to the church this morning. There will be time to share concerns and sorrows in a few moments.
I want to share my gratitude to Patrick for preaching last Sunday and giving me my full birthday weekend off. I turned 39 on Monday and had a fabulous and restful weekend. And I want to thank Patrick and all dogs.
At this time, I'd like to invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows or concerns you bring with you to church this morning.
I would like to share a concern from Patricia Morell. Her mother passed away this past week. There will be a visitation time from 5 to 7 p.m. this Monday, the 17th, at Gent Funeral Home in Alton, where the funeral services will be at 1 p.m. On Tuesday, November 18th. If you have any questions about this, I will have this up front. And of course, please offer your condolences and your loving presence to Patricia in this difficult time. Thank you.
May the gratitude and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all. And may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all our hearts, a burden shared becomes a load lightened.
I invite you now into a time of meditation, contemplation, or prayer, as is your own personal spiritual practice. I invite you to take a notice of the room around you. Just get comfortable in your seat as you are able. Feel the air. Notice the sounds. In the chaos of our lives, we take this time to be present to ourselves and to the world around us. To be present to those things we may run from, or to simply be in a time of restfulness. We offer our gratitude to those who have blessed our lives with their gifts, to the wonderment of snow lightly pressed on the ground, and snowflakes on the tongue, the warmth of fires and cocoa, and all the beautiful things that make winter so fun. We offer gratitude for this community who supports and cares for one another in times of joy and struggle. And we ask forgiveness for those times when we maybe have not stepped up, not been present, not been more supportive when we could have been. We offer our blessings of care and support to all who are struggling with illness, all those who may be dying, and those who have lost loved ones. In a world mired in violence, from wars the world over, to arguments in Ferguson, to the injustices of classism and racism, homophobia and transphobia, and all of those instances when people are belittled for simply being who they are, we ask for the grace to commit ourselves to making the world a better place, a world transformed by our care and our calling through the gifts we each carry. For alone, we cannot heal the world. But together, that is another possibility. I invite you now into a moment of silence for personal meditation, prayer, or contemplation. And as we come back into this place, I invite you to take a deep breath in and out. Another deep breath so your neighbor can hear you. In and out. And one more time. In and out. While we remain in this meditative place, I invite you to join in singing hymn number 123, Spirit of Life. We'll sing it once with piano accompaniment and then once softly a cappella. Set me free.
Each week, we take a collection of money, a bounty from this community to support the work of this congregation and the Unitarian Universalism. We do this because we recognize that individually we cannot do as much as we can as a community. We invite you to give until it feels good, to give what you can, and to know that your gifts matter. It is through your hands and hearts that we make a world worthy of our children and of our children's children. This gift is a piece of the precious light that shines for the world to see. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given.
Traveling between Philadelphia and New York City, and there's an ad poster up on the wall of the train. It says, "Ordinary men do extraordinary work," and there's a photo of five men, three white, one Asian, one black, all in clerical collars. Below them it asks, "Is God calling you to be a priest?" And there's a phone number and a website. I think, wow, the Vatican has to advertise now? Soon they may have to admit women. Soon they may have to admit God could be calling a woman to be a priest. Who knows who God is calling? Ordinary folks get called to do extraordinary work. Is God calling you to be a priest? A Yoruba priest, a Vodun priest, an urban griot poet priest, a hip-hop freestyle prophesizing priest, an activist organizer priest? What is your ministry to alleviate the misery? Because minute by minute, the masses get mixed up in the mundane minutia of the moment and miss the miracles. What is your ministry, Mr., Miss., Mrs.? Don't miss it. Is God calling you? Don't tie up the line talking to someone just to pass the time or have that modem dialed up to the net logging on to www.underlyingspiritualcrisis.com. Is God calling you? Someone needs to turn water into wine. Somebody needs to turn the party out. Somebody needs to turn George W. out the White House. There are thieves in the temple. Is God calling you? Make sure you have call waiting, caller ID, call return, call forwarding. You don't want to miss this call. Somebody needs to love people, not just lecture. Somebody needs to rock the house. Somebody needs to make people laugh and uplift them at the same time. Ordinary folks do extraordinary work. Is God calling you? Shut off your cell phone. Put your pager on vibrate. Clear away some of those distractions and listen. Is God calling you? Somebody needs to heal the sick, raise the dead, make the blind see, forgive the woman at the well. Well, is God calling you? Is there something you are afraid to do? What are you waiting for? Write that poem. Paint that picture. Finish that novel. Organize and mobilize your community. Hit that open mic. Take the risk. It's not about the Vatican. It's about the yes, I can. Ordinary folks get called to do extraordinary work. Ordinary folks get called to do extraordinary work. Ordinary folks get called to do extraordinary work. Turn your cowrie shell necklace into a clerical collar. Is God calling you?
So I'm guessing some of my atheists are like, what are you doing to me? God ain't calling me to do anything. I'll tell you, as a humanist, I translate God to mean allness, universe, something beyond myself, whatever it means to you. And the other thing is, let me post music say that I do not necessarily support having George W. thrown out of the White House. We are not a political institution. But I thought that that spoken word was too important not to share. And so if you are a Republican who was offended, please let me apologize to you now. I want to start today by asking you a simple question. Whose job is it to do ministry in this congregation? Anybody got an answer for that? All of ours. Good. I served a congregation where they said the ministers. Like, oh no. Ministry is the responsibility of everyone. Ministry is, in fact, a way of being in the world. And today, I do want to focus a bit on the role of the parish minister. There are many kinds of professional ministry, including community ministry, religious education ministry, chaplaincy, and beyond. As this congregation thinks about ministry, however, I want you to consider what you want in your next settled minister, but to do it with eyes open, with a sense of what's possible. And if you are new to this denomination or to this congregation, I hope today tells you a little bit about who we are as Unitarian Universalists. What I do want to hit home is that the profession, the career of minister, is a commitment to living a spiritually whole life in a way that is relevant for all of us. We all want to live a spiritually whole life. It is not relegated just to that of the professional minister. Ministers are called from and ordained by our congregations. You are the house in which ministers are born. It is from you that ministry is made possible, even professional ministers. Each aspect of professional ministry is an aspect of everyday living for all of us. It is not some obtuse, unfathomable path, even though it can seem a little overwhelming at times, but one that we all must walk in our own ways. What is your calling? Is it to write a book, to write a song, to hold the hand of the stranger, to support and assist in ways that are unique to you? What is your calling? First, I want to say something about the word minister. Ministers are called to lead as servants, and inherently there is a contradiction in that, to leadership and to service. I come to lead you. Otherwise, you know, what's the point? And at the same time, I come to serve you. It requires an aspect of strength and humbleness in one word. The verb minister comes from the Latin ministrare, which means to serve, attend, or wait upon. And I do want to be clear, don't expect me to wait upon you anytime soon. And don't expect others who are ministering to you to wait upon you. And if you are the minister in question, don't wait upon others. But do be of service. And what does it mean to be of service to one another? One of the oft-quoted things in Universalism is from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. And it's written, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" And though as Unitarian Universalists we may not always utilize the Bible as that source, and we may not always use the word God, the core message continues to speak up to us today and really needs to be heard throughout the world. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. As social creatures, we are called to be of service to one another. It is how we as a species have survived. It is how we as individuals have found meaning. We are called to do justice, to be agents for loving wholeness in the world. We are called to loving kindness, to compassion, especially when it is hard. We are called to be strong and humble. So first, ministers, be they lay ministers or professional ministers, are called to lead as servants. Second, ministers are called to be lifelong learners and teachers. There is no point at which a minister says, oh, I've got it all now, I know everything, I'm done. In fact, I like the words of Richard Bach in the book Illusions. There's a little book within the book of Illusions that says, if you're asking if you have learned everything, here is one simple test. Are you still alive? In other words, if you are still alive, you're not done learning yet. Who's here is still alive? Are you sure? I want to share a little bit about the struggle that ministers face in trying to be skilled professional ministers. The Unitarian Universalist Association called on some consultants to look at what is it that ministers do, because it has changed over time. 300 years ago, all a minister did was preach and study. They would go and preach 5-10 times a week at different congregations in their area. That was all they did. There was no pastoral care. There was no assumption of social justice. They didn't do the administration. The people did the administration work. There weren't many paid staff. It wasn't something beyond. It was in the hands of the congregation. And over the years, ministry, of course, has changed. I just want to give you a sense. This is a sheet of paper that lists all the skills, knowledge, and behaviors that ordained ministers should have. And if you'll note, there's probably about 50 things on that list. I just want to read the skills. These are the skills that a minister should have. Budgeting, communication, community organizing, conflict management, counseling, decision making, facilitation, fundraising, homiletics, intergenerational relationship building, leadership development, listening, marketing promotion, multicultural competency, negotiating, networking, pastoral care, problem solving, public speaking, research, and writing. All in 40 hours a week. As you might imagine, that's not an easy thing to accomplish. So much so that ministers give this piece of advice to people considering ministry. If you can do anything else, do that. If you can do anything else, do that. That was repeated all throughout my seminary experience, and I repeat it to people who are considering ministry. If you can do anything else, do that. But if you feel it in your soul, you know that all the gifts that you have lead into that path, then go forth and do it. As you might imagine, there is no way for any one minister to encompass all those skills and those traits in a lifetime. And so ministry is the art of practice, strength and humbleness and humility. It is the walking humbly portion of the Micah quote. It is the power of sharing one's growing edges while still being a leader. It is the power to say, I'm wrong, and yet my leadership still matters. Our society needs this message. Can you imagine how different politics would be today if a person could say, I made a mistake, and not have it be the end of their careers? Reverend Deborah Pope Lance spoke a few years ago to a group of ministers on the abuse of power that's possible in ministry and how ministers come to a place of breaking their covenant with their congregations. And what's interesting is It isn't because these were particularly bad people. It started with one little thing and built and built and built until it came to a point where these folks engaged in inappropriate behavior. And so she writes this: "Our dear colleagues and friends do make errors of judgment. All ministers, even me and thee, are sometimes unsure of what practice is not bad or best. When we consider the nature of our work, its material, its conditions and complexity, the occurrence of errors become easy to understand. Like the driver of a car whose driving is challenged by dangerous conditions, an icy road, a narrow street, an obscured stop sign. Ministry is challenged by its conditions. We ministers work with the personal, intimate, complex, and changing material of other people's lives and spirits. We navigate a vast sea of feelings, worth and dignity, guilt and shame, disappointment and hope, grief and longing. We are often alone and inadequately supported. What we produce, our sermons and programs, our speaking and listening, are acts of grace and judgment. These bear the marks of our frail, feeble, and failed human selves. Knowing the conditions are challenging, knowing the material is mutable and complex, knowing we all can err, knowing ministry's hazards are great, our vows must have our clearest resolve." End quote. Ministry is hard. If you can do anything else, do that. Be humble. It is because of the pitfalls of these ministers, and all people have a multitude of paths to take, that one, the one that leads to the worst kinds of behavior are those who pretend that they know what they're doing when they do not, or that they have an experience that they do not. And think in your own life, those times when you wanted to be empathetic or wanted to feel like you were in the know, and you told that little white lie. And in that moment, your integrity was lessened. We all have those moments in our lives. To tell the little lies that make everyone feel better, but take away pieces of our integrity a little bit at a time. An example might be a minister who, in working with a couple around a wedding, creates a story in which they lost a child in order to support the couple. Done out of love, but done in such a way that makes them seem grander than they are, instead of acknowledging that perhaps they do not know the experience of this couple and maybe have something to learn from them. It's the empathy versus the lie. And each little lie builds up until we start to believe them ourselves. Then the truly egregious things that we hear about on television become possible. Sexual misconduct, stealing money, and abusing power. And here's what I will tell you, after working in numerous congregations over the course of my, even before I was in ministry until now, congregations don't want imperfect ministers and often don't give permission for ministers to make mistakes in a way that's healthy, which makes the lying easier. I will say this congregation does a very good job of supporting your ministers and letting them be human, and all I can say to you is keep up the good work. You're not going to get the perfect person. Don't expect it. But how can you help them be the best minister that they can be so they can help you be the best person you can be? The task for all of us as ministers, lay, personal, or professional, the task for all of us in the world is to practice authenticity, truth-telling, and shame resilience at all possible costs. That is the foundation on which we become lifelong learners, not knowing everything. And again, I repeat, can you imagine if our leaders in the public square assumed that they were lifelong learners who would continue to grow and learn, how much better we would be as a society? As ministers, we constantly study, we go on retreats, we learn new techniques, we speak with our trusted peers about the things we're unsure about, we get advice, we ask for help when needed, One of my interim ministry colleagues believes that all ministers should have three things: an accountant, a therapist, and a spiritual director. And all of these are to help maintain the healthy balance of mind and spirit that allows us to be good servants in the world. And in fact, one of my colleagues likes to refer to going to the therapist as a tune-up. I need to go get a tune-up from my therapist today. It's been a little while. A tune-up. This does not mean that you need to have a therapist personally, but it does mean that to make it through our days, we need to be able to reflect with our trusted advisors on the meanings of our decisions, the struggles we face, and the nature of our own perfections, be we in the pew, in the street, or in the pulpit. Finally, I want to talk a little bit about the core areas of fulfilling the call report that I was talking about before with this. I'm going to touch on each one briefly, but I want you to think about these spinning plates. Has anybody seen spinning plates live? You know what I'm talking about? You have them on a bamboo stick, you put a plate and you twirl it. Anybody actually do that themselves? Do we have any plate spinners in the room? You never know. I had a clown in one congregation, so. Okay. The thing about spinning plates is, you know, one, you can probably do. Two, three, okay, maybe you can juggle. Four, five, six, okay, where are they now? They grow in number until it really becomes a miracle that you have all those plates in the air. And we've already talked about a couple of those plates being of service, you know, means supporting the plate up in the air, right? Being the service person, but also being the leader, the one who knows how to keep that plate up there. And the second thing is humbleness and being willing to be a lifelong learner, which means knowing that those plates are going to fall. It isn't the act of keeping them up in the air that matters so much as recognizing sometimes they're going to fall and putting them right back up there again and keeping going. How many of you find those moments when you're like, just forget it, I am not picking that plate back up? We've all been in that moment, right? Just not going to do it, I'm done. We all have those times. It's less important that you remember all of these plates more than it is to think about the breadth of how many plates a minister holds in the air. The report came to the conclusion that there are 9 areas that ministers need in order to be capable. And the first plate is leading worship. So we got that plate up in the air. That's what most people think of as ministry. You know, if you ask the general person, they're like, oh yeah, they preach. They do stuff on Sunday so I can fall asleep. That kind of thing. Okay. Just checking who's awake. The truth is that we all have that in our moments, these times when we need to, in our lives, create moments of sacred community, whether it is with our loved ones, with our broader family and friends, or with our congregation, or with the world. We need to create moments of sacred community. And that is what worship is about. And the important thing is that ministers don't train to preach. They do, but they train to do worship. They are not there just to do what happens in the 20 minutes that they're speaking, but in the entire thing. And that's also important for all of us to remember, we're not there in those sacred moments to be the ones who have the monologue. We are there to be the ones who hold everybody together in a space, individually and communally. The second plate is official rites of passage. And on that plate goes things like child dedications, coming of age, bridging ceremonies, weddings, funerals, and other kinds of rites of passage in life. I've done a couple of ceremonies of name change for transgender folks who have found a new name, a ceremony of recognition of heritage for an adopted individual who suddenly learned about a family they did not know. And it also includes things like, my favorite, I think, is doing a blessing on a farmer's market. That was a great time. Or the blessing of a home. Life passages. And what is important for all of us in the ministry of our lives is to make sure we take time to celebrate the transitions that happen for us. What is it that you do to make special those significant changes in your life, those new ways of being? The third plate is pastoral care and presence. Ministers train by going into hospital rooms and sitting with people and not giving their opinion, 40 hours a week for at least 10 weeks, if not for almost a year and a half. And that means walking into the room of a Seventh-day Adventist who believes you're going to hell as much as it means walking into the room of an atheist. And just being with what's true without trying to hide it or fade it or fix it, in the words of Araya Mountain Dreamer. So in our lives, we are called to be with people in their times of struggle without trying to fix what they're going through. Who are my fixers? You know who you are. I'm certainly one of them. I struggle with it myself. I want to go in and just make you feel better, which is usually not what someone who is struggling needs. They just need you to be with them and nothing more. Pastoral care and presence. The fourth plate is spiritual development. That's spiritual practice. I like what Reverend Waynes Arneson and Kathleen Rolenz do in their trainings. They talk about it's important to have a daily practice of meditation, prayer, contemplation, quiet time. A weekly practice of going to church. They are ministers. A monthly practice of service to others. An annual practice of retreat, going away somewhere and being with your own spiritual life, whether that is going to an astronomy tower and looking at the cosmos or going to a Buddhist retreat center. And having a life pilgrimage, and that means traveling to someplace significant to you. Spiritual development is about looking at the wholeness of what we need to be with the wonderment and majesty of all that exists. The fifth plate, social justice. That means helping create a world better than the one we were born into so that the generations to come may live better. The sixth one I hate with a passion, lead administration. How many folks here love organizing and administrative work? I know there's always a couple. I'm like, don't be ashamed. I'm glad you do, because if you didn't, I would be in trouble. You need the administrative stuff. And in our own personal lives, it means keeping things organized so you can find what you need, have what you need, and get what you need done. And if you're like me and you're not very organized, that may be an ongoing struggle, or it may be a strength. Maybe your calling is to help others find that organization in their lives. But we all need to be able to figure out how we organize our worlds so that we can accomplish the good work that we are called to do, to write that novel, to paint that picture, to write that song. The seventh plate is renewal and professional development. And under that seventh plate is really what we call self-care. How many of you engage in self-care? Okay, we're going to work on that. I saw one hand go up. Self-care is about taking care of yourself. I like how one of my colleagues put it. She said, you have to put on your own oxygen mask before helping others. If parents are putting their kids ahead of them so often that they're not getting out on dates and getting time away from to be with themselves, their kids suffer. It isn't an assistant. It isn't an aid to the lives of their children. It's a hindrance. It may be hard to find that time, but it's important to do it. Putting your own oxygen mask before helping others. A core aspect of any ministry calling. The eighth plate is about serving the larger Unitarian Universalist faith. And on your path, it may just mean serving a larger community than yourself. It could mean the Unitarian Universalist faith. It could mean the world. It could mean Ferguson. It could mean wherever you are. How do you serve a world larger than yourself? And the ninth plate, the final plate, is leading the faith into the future. Been in congregations where I ask, what is the legacy of this church? And folks don't even know what the word legacy means. What was great in asking this congregation what you want the legacy of this church to be, most everybody had an answer. And that's because we here now are only a piece of the puzzle. We are here because 180 years ago, some folks thought maybe what they knew about the universe would matter to folks down the road. And so here we are in this building, laughing in the pews, and being in community. Leading the faith into the future. So ministry is the responsibility of us all. And when you think about all the plates that are up in the air that a minister has to handle, You have to know they can't do it without you. What often happens in a congregation of this size is ministers burn out because there are not enough volunteers who step up, and more ends up on their plate. They end up with more and more plates spinning in the air. And so you as a congregation, you as members and friends and visitors of this community, I invite you to ask yourself, what are you willing to commit to take your fair share of the calling of this congregation? Because while you may have a minister who comes in and has their own vision for the world, the truth is they're coming to help you, be service to you, so that you can live your calling in Alton and Edwardsville and Florissant and St. Charles, St. Louis, and southwestern Illinois. What is your calling? Ministry is the responsibility of all of us. What professional ministers bring to the table is years of training, opportunities to attend ongoing and relevant conferences and workshops relevant to ministry and to you as a congregation, and a personal calling to walk together, to be in community with you. Ordained ministers bring unique skills and qualities carefully vetted for the purpose of ministry, and believe me, you don't want me to list the jumps, the hoops that we have to jump through to get to here. The areas they are encouraged to focus on are spiritual practices for living. They are practices that all of us should consider in our daily lives. With so many plates spinning in the air, some are going to drop and crash. That's just it. In the course of the life of this congregation, in your own life, everywhere. Plates crashing all over the place, which has this tendency to be at once annoying and gratifying. That just provides more experience and allows for a replacement plate. To start again and again, forever learning and growing with authenticity and vulnerability and service as the foundation of your work. And so as you consider your own ministry in the world, as you consider what ministry you want to come to this congregation in a couple of years, as you consider what it means to be of service in the world, we invite you always to be present, to be aware of the past, be forward-looking, forever learning and growing in humbleness, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. So I ask you, what are you waiting for? Pick up the phone. Call now. I invite you to rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing hymn number 298, Wake Now My Senses.
Feel the deep power of being in all.
is stay standing and turn facing your neighbors down the chandelier up there. Smile. You may not even be in the mood to smile, and I apologize, but do it anyway. It's good for the spirit. This is our holy and sacred community. It is through our calling, our presence to each other, that we transform a world through our care. May you know you are enough. May you know that you are loved. And may you go out into the world this week sharing the light of your wisdom and return next week to share it with us. May it be so. What time is it? I don't have my, I realize my phone has my, okay. Did it go as long as I thought it did? Okay. How you doing, Phil?